Thank you, Brother Jim. Brothers and sisters, I am glad that we can all come together and I'm glad that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and who has called us that we might come out of the world. And I wonder sometimes if we really appreciate what God has called us to do. He's called us to come out of the world in this way, that we are to withdraw ourselves from those things of the world that bring a displeasure to Him. And I wonder sometimes when I see the levity that I see in the world, how well we keep ourselves unspotted from the world. I'm human, just like you are, and I slip, just like you do. But we are called, brothers and sisters, to a higher plane. The question is, are we continually aware of what God expects us to do every moment? In the world, we find temptations, and we are to be tempted. We're to be a tried people. But that doesn't mean that we should give way to the trials. We're subjected to speech that isn't what it ought to be sometimes. And I hope that we don't participate in that speech. But the world is flooded with it. And do we earnestly strive to withdraw ourselves from those things that are not what they ought to be? I'd like to read a few verses from the 11th chapter of Matthew, where the Lord is warning His people. And He said, beginning at the 7th verse, "As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Why was he more than a prophet? For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. So he was sent forth to prepare the way. You know, that's our job today. That's our job today. Are we preparing the way for Christ among those whom with whom we associate from day to day? Do we participate in the questionable stories that our friends tell? Do we laugh at their dirty jokes? It's a serious thing, isn't it? We don't like to be too different from those with whom we associate, do we? But God has called upon you and me. I'm included in it too. To set an example of righteousness wherever we go and at all times. Now, I'm not up here to judge you, but my job, my brother and my sister, is to remind us, of the responsibility which God has placed upon each of us. Are we letting the sun shine, the Son of God shine in our everyday conversation, in our everyday performance, our everyday walk among men, so to speak? I hope so. I hope so. It's our duty. God requires it of you and me. Now then, when I say you, I'm speaking of you who have made a commitment. And I don't know all of you. I don't know whether you've made a commitment or not. And that's not my business. But it's my business to call to your attention what God expects of you and me as we spend our time ...18 hours a day, if we get a full night's sleep. Yes. He expects you and me, as children of God, to be above the things of the world, are we? Now, I'm not going to stand up here and point out and say, you do this, you did this, you did that. All I'm doing is asking you if you have been obedient to Jesus Christ. And you know, I have to ask Nicholas that all the time. I have to watch that boy. You know why? Because they're an enemy, an unseen enemy, who whispers to each one of us to get us off track. And you know, I have weaknesses and I slip once in a while myself. So I can't stand up here and say, No. I've got to watch this fellow all the time. And you have to watch yourself all the time. And I'm not sitting in judgment. I'd like to turn to Matthew and read a few words. If I can find the place that I want. Speaking of the things that the ministry, we brethren of the ministry, required to do, set an example in the first place. And I'd like to start reading in the in Matthew. Let's see here. The 13th chapter. So if you have your books, you might like to follow along with me. If not, why, I intend to speak loud enough that I can be heard. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. A great multitude were gathered together unto him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. So that he went into a ship and sat. Why? Because he was away from them, he could talk to them. That's why he got in that ship. He'd be up here where they could see him, like I am right now. And while the multitude stood on the shore, he spake many things unto them in parables. Why in parables? Because they could understand it better. They had an example before them. But he had another reason too. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. I don't know how many of you people were raised on a farm, but I was. We had to plant the corn. And we raised Cain. You've heard about people raising Cain. Well, this Cain was the purpose of squeezing out the juice and making sorghum, a sweet syrup. And I always liked the day when we began to make sorghum, because I got to taste it every once in a while. He sowed, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and destroyed and devoured them up. Now, I better get my book up here a little closer so I can see better. Some fell among stony places where they had not much earth. And those who have tried to plant a garden knows that we've got to get those seeds in the soil, not just lay it up on top of the ground or not in the rocks. But when the seed fell, some seeds fell by the wayside, and The fowls came and delivered and devoured them up. Some fell in stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, and they were scorched, they couldn't stand the heat. What's the idea of this for us? My brother and my sister, can we stand the heat that is poured upon us at work by the dirty stories and the awful things that are sometimes stirred out among our associates? Can we stand the heat? Are we above those dirty stories? I hope so. I hope so. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because of they had no root, and they withered away. How's our root? Are we firmly founded in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have we been baptized by one who has authority to baptize? I remember when I was a little lad in this room, not the same ceiling and not the same floor, not the same seats, and I tell you, I'm glad they're not the same seats, because the seats I grew up on were hard and uncomfortable, and I'm glad that you have some seats to sit on this evening that are soft and comfortable, because I want you to be comfortable. But think, God has placed a responsibility upon you and me. He has called us out of the world to be examples of those whom we come in contact from day to day. What kind of examples are we? And you know what scriptures say? Let a man examine the other guy. No, I didn't say that. Let a man examine himself. And you and I have a job of examining self. I'm not here to point my finger at you or you or you or anybody else. I've got to point the finger at this guy. And I've got to check. And this applies to each one of us. God holds you responsible for the same thing he's holding me for. Examining self. Has my speech, the words which come out of my mouth, such as they should be? Am I guilty of telling tales on my brother or my sister? Am I guilty of telling dirty stories? That's a responsibility I have to answer for. God has said, repent. Repent and come unto me. And that is the purpose for which God has called his ministry to stand before the congregation of his children and remind them of the awful responsibility which we have to bear Why is it awful? I don't mean horrible. It's full of awe. It calls us to attention. And I hope that I can speak a few words that will help you to take a good look at not me or somebody else, self. It's not my job to examine you, my brother and my sister. That's your job. You examine you and give an answer to God. And I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think about this very question every day, several times a day? You should. We should be on the watchtower at all times to see if we are in harmony with Jesus Christ. And if we're not, we need to get ourselves on the right track. And it's not my job to get you on the right track. I've got my hands full right here. And you've got your hands full right there. So I'm not here picking at you. But I'm here to remind us of the responsibility that we, each of us, have in self-inspection. Are our thoughts the highest? Or do we let those thoughts get down in the dirt? God holds each of us responsible for our thoughts. And it's not my business to examine you. And it's not your business to examine your brother or sister, whoever it might be. But it's your business to examine self and give an answer to Almighty God for what you find. Brothers and sisters, are we doing our job fully? I hope so. I hope so. I'd like to read a few verses from the 13th chapter of Matthew, starting, well, I'll begin at the beginning of this chapter. There are two verses that are introductory to the other. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Why did he go out and sit by the seaside? No doubt there were quite a group of people there. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship where he could get away so that everybody could hear him. That's why he went into the ship. And they were all like you are tonight, scattered out in front of him. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. So he had a congregation, didn't he? And he spake many things unto them in parables. What's a parable? It's a story. It's a story. Why did he do it? Well, if people were wide awake, they caught the lesson right off. But some of them were not wide awake. And he said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." I am glad my folks raised me up on the farm so I knew what this was all about. My dad didn't go out and sow it like he used to be, but it used to be that way. But my dad taught me to get on the planter and go right down the row and planter just kept dropping seeds and covering them up. But that's what this was about. A sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, alongside the road. They're going to grow? No way they can grow. You have to put a seed down and get some dirt on top of it for it to grow. And by the way, when he did that, the fowls, the birds, came and ate the seeds. Didn't do any good. Some fell among stony places where there's not much earth. Well, with just a little bit of earth, they sprouted, and that was it. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Now, let me ask you something right here. God has planted his word, his seed, in your hearing and in mine. What have we done with that seed? I'm trying to drop a seed tonight. I hope it'll grow. I hope it'll grow. I'm going to start with the fifth verse again. Some fell among stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, and because they had no depth of earth, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away, died, wasted. Brothers and sisters, we are that soil that God has dropped the gospel of Jesus Christ in. What kind of soil are you and I when that seed dropped in? Is God's word taking deep effect upon your heart and your mind and causing you to make decisions that God would be pleased with in your everyday walk and conversation among your fellows. This is Sunday evening, am I right? Okay, I don't want to get mixed up. Tomorrow morning, several of us going to report for work, aren't we? I say several of us because I'm past it. But you know, I'm going to be with some people this week in spite of it all. And I am going to drop a seed right out of my mouth as I'm trying to drop several seeds right now. And I hope those seeds are good seeds and that they will spring into action. You're going to spread seeds tomorrow and the next day. Brothers and sisters, are those good seeds? Are there any seeds any of us have spread that aren't good? God would not look on with joy? If so, we'd better be careful and not sow that kind of seed. You know, I'm human just like you are. I've got my faults just like you've got. May not be exactly the same. Maybe yours are not quite as bad as mine. So I'm not standing here to judge you. But I want each of you to judge yourself. Because if we don't judge self, God is going to judge us. And he's going to judge us in everything we do and everything we say. And I thank God that God placed me right where he did, in the arms of my mother. Just like that little one back there is in the arms of its mother. And she taught me what was right, and she taught me to avoid that which was wrong. You know, I was human and I stepped off the path a time or two, or three or four or five or six. How many times? I'm not going to try to count them. But you know, I got my foot stuck in the mud and I had a time pulling that stick, that foot out of that mud and getting back on solid ground. Now, I have an idea that each one of you who have grown to adulthood have done that same thing. I'm not sitting in judgment upon you because I don't know. But I have an idea. Why do I have an idea? Because we're all under the fall. We're all under the fall. But Christ came to lift us out. And my brother and my sister, are we alert to that responsibility? I'm not going to say 24 hours a day because we have to sleep. And I'm grateful that God gives us a time out to sleep. But about 16 hours every day, We're not asleep, are we? And we are responsible to God for every word, every deed, and every thought that we entertain in our heads, minds. Are they what they ought to be? We need to take a look at self. Now, I'm not sitting up here judging you. That's not my job. I've got a big job judging this fellow right here. And I mean to tell you, it's a full-time job. Because Satan is loose in the world and he is determined. Well, wait a minute, let's go back. How did this all come about? We were all in heaven. That may be a surprise to some of you. When you were born to your mother, some of you thought that was the beginning, didn't it? Well, it was the beginning of this, what you're looking at. That's all the beginning it was, of this, what you're looking at. And this had to grow from a tiny little squirming, screeching things up to this old man that stands before you tonight. But we were before that. We were in heaven. And there was a war in heaven. If I can just turn to it right quick, but I won't take the time to now. There was a war in heaven, and Satan drew 1/3 of the host of heaven and cast him into the earth. Where are you? Where am I? We're here in the earth. We were cast out of heaven. We were drawn out by Satan. Somebody's going to say, well, it's wrong to have children then, bring them into the world, isn't it? No. It's not wrong to have children. God has commanded that we bring children into the world. You know, I wept. I lost 3 boys. I wept. I raised a daughter. But you know, those 3 boys were in heaven. I have reason to rejoice. I'm trying to get there. I have a daughter. And brothers and sisters, that daughter's not here tonight. That's a sorrow to me. That daughter got her feelings hurt on a church outing. And she quit coming to church. And how much effort has there been by my brethren of the ministry as well as others to get her back? It's going to take more than me. I can't get her to come back. But do you know you can't? How many more are there out there that have been lost? That we can get back, or try to at least. Brothers and sisters, that's your job and my job 24 hours of the day, is to strive to save souls. God places that responsibility upon each of us. First, we've got to seek Him and get our feet on solid ground by obedience to His gospel, for He says, repent. What does that mean? What does it mean to repent? It means to be sorry for something we've done or said. Repent. And then He said, and be baptized to wash away our sins. Well, is that water going to do it? Obedience to Jesus Christ is going to do it. And He said, be ye baptized, every one of you. All right. I remember when I was a little boy, 10 years old, and it was in the winter time, and we had our font right out here in the backyard, or back of the church. Now it's, let's see, it's out to the side now, isn't it? And winter time's too cold. We borrowed the font over in the stone church. And I can remember that occasion. It was a joyous occasion. I was 10 years old, and there were several a little older than I. And I remember the wonderful experience of being laid down and buried in that water and coming forth new, fresh, sinless. And in time, temptations came along and I slipped. I got to thinking about that slip and what am I going to do? I had to repent. And I had to do some sore repenting. But you know, when I convinced the Lord that I meant what I said, He lifted the burden. And I was free again. It was a wonderful feeling. And you know, I had to go through that several times in my life, many times. because I stumbled. Oh, I haven't been perfect. Not by a long ways. But the Lord knew that we would do these things, brothers and sisters. And He opened up the way that we get back on the right road again. And it's up to us to hold on to that rod of iron. There it is. The stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph. Hold on. And be mindful of what He said. You know, this might be of interest to you, by the way. The stick of Judah. President Harry Truman was the first head of state to recognize the state of Israel when Israel was given back her land in that which we call the Holy Land. And do you know that the Jewish people of Judah in the Holy Land gave to President Truman a stick of Judah? It's the Old Testament because they don't believe in Christ. The New Testament's not there. But I've seen it. It's on a stick about this long, and it's rolled up until it's about this big around. The stick of Judah. And if you ask, go over to the Truman Library and ask to see it, if conditions are so they can, they will show it to you. The stick of Judah. The Old Testament. And so he gave us the stick of Joseph, because Christ made his appearance to the people on this continent shortly after his crucifixion. And he showed the people on this continent the prints of the nails in his hands and in his feet and the wound in his side. So they knew that he was Christ. Yes, that's the story this book tells us. Brothers and sisters, I hope that if you haven't picked this book up and read it from page one till, well, in my book, it's what page? If you haven't read that book all the way through, you've neglected your responsibility. You need to read it just as fast as you can read it, and then turn around and read it again. Because you're going to get more out of it the second time you got the first time, because you know more about what you're looking for. But don't forget to read this one just as carefully. From the first chapter of Genesis to the last chapter of Revelations. You know, Satan's going to give you all kinds of reasons why you don't take the time to do it. Satan doesn't want you and me to be aware of what's written. I've read them both through fast, and I mean fast, twice, all the way through, cover to cover. And I would advise each of you to do the same thing. Why? You don't get it all the first time through, and when you go through the next time, I'm not sure you get it all then. But we owe ourselves to have read these two records, the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph, all the way through. And we ought to read it more than once, because there's so much there it slips away. Brothers and sisters, I am grateful to my Heavenly Father and my mother brought me into this room. 97 years ago. I'm grateful that God put me right in her arms. There were times when I stepped aside. And you know what? When my mother found it out, she said, "Son, you go out to the peach tree and you cut a limb off of the peach tree, and it better be big enough to last through a process." It wasn't easy, brothers and sisters. I see some grinning, and maybe I'm not the only one that had an experience like that. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful that my mother thought of me enough to see that I walked the straight and narrow. And you know, that's what God expects of you and me. Excuse me. That's what he expects of you and me. Are we holding up to his expectations? I'm not up here to look at you and judge you. No, that's not my job. What is my job? My job is to remind you of what God said on those two records. Then it's up to you and him. It's not up to you and me. It's not my affair. But I would be neglecting my duty if I didn't call your attention to the responsibility which each of us owes to our Heavenly Father. And I pray God's blessings upon each of you, that he will open your eyes to that which he would have you do, and that you have the strength and the courage and the moral determination to carry out the responsibility which God has placed upon you. Because each of us is going to give an answer someday, and we know not how soon. Do you know that before I walk off this platform up here, I could be called upon to give an answer to our Heavenly Father? I don't know when that time's going to come, but it could come before I walk down that aisle. I don't think it will, but it could. We don't know when that time comes. We can't afford to let things slip by uncared for. And if we have a job to do, brothers and sisters, let us get the job done. I love each and every one of you because you are who you are. You're seeking the same as I am for God's word and for a place in heaven. If we're not so, you wouldn't be here in this room. So I leave you with hopes that you will join with me in striving to bring ourselves closer to our Heavenly Father, that he might pour out his blessings upon us in great measure. Thank you.